I wonder if it's harder to do a show if they were playing well.
I think it would be. I think it'd be like, what should There's we talk like, about? Oh, did you see that Ovechkin goal? It was great. Yeah, it was. Moving
this
on.
This guy's doing good, and this guy too.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Hope you missed us last week. We sure miss you as well. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. How was your Thanksgiving? Eat a lot of turkey?
I had my fair share of the dead bird. How about you?
Yeah. I had a good Thanksgiving. Nice, relaxing time. Went away to Ocean City with the fam. And even though I was away from town a little bit, I still got to watch some Caps hockey. Maybe not as much as I would have liked to, but that's the way vacations go sometimes. But let's talk about it. We got 2 weeks worth of Caps hockey to kind of bring up here. I don't know what to really say at this point, because we talked about it before we went on the show. We've got we've already passed the quarter section of the season. We have the new Barry Trotz system coming in, new coach, new president. But it kind of worries me that I feel as if the Capitals are kind of stuck where they were the last couple years. They still, to me, don't have an identity. They still don't know like what to do on the ice, and we've got a lot of high paid guys on the team, but they're not playing like it.
Well, I don't know if I go so far to say that we have high paying guys that aren't playing like it. I mean, to some extent, I remember I was watching the game last night, the loss to Vancouver, and I was sitting there watching it with my girlfriend, and we're both like, what's going on with this team? Like, why are they just playing so poorly? And I don't think it's a lack of effort necessarily, or a lack of trying. It seems like they don't have enough effort. You know, they're out there and they're certainly trying to win, but they just aren't doing enough to get there. Every time, you know, they had the puck, it seemed, against Vancouver, and it seems to be this way over the past couple of games, that they have no offensive possession. When they're in the offensive zone, they do not control the puck. Everything is just like quick shot turnover, or they dump it in and then the other team controls it and brings it out. And I don't think it's a lack of effort. I just don't think it's like it's enough effort. They want to win. It just seems like either they're not trying to do enough to get there, or they think they're better than they are, and that's going to get them the win. And it's just not, it's not how it's going to work. But I think the players, you know, some of the guys are playing well. I think Ovechkin, you know, he's doing what he needs to do, and he's trying as hard as he can. It's to some extent, it's been weird. Like, him and Backstrom seem like they're off with one another. Like, usually that sync up is right there, but it seems like they're just not on the same page all the time. And I think Wilson is still sort of gelling with these guys, because a lot of times these passes are just not tape to tape, or not even close. I mean, it's still having that thing where Ovechkin is constantly getting the puck at his foot, which gives the goalie or whoever a chance to get over, especially when he's in the Ovi spot. But it's also a lot of the passes are just bad. They're behind guys, they're in front of guys, and that's a lot of it causing them to not have offensive possession. And it's just it's right now they are an average team, and they're playing like it.
Yeah, that's the scary thing here, is that they are an average team. I mean, I feel as if over the last couple of years they've digressed. You know, they were a team that everybody thought was going to win the Stanley Cup, and ever since, I guess, 2010, things haven't really been the same for this team. There's a lot of great talent on here, and I don't understand why things aren't working yet. I'll give it to Tom Wilson being on the top line. I mean, that's a lot of weight to carry for a young guy like him, and he's still learning the ropes. He couldn't train as much as he would have liked in the offseason due to an injury, and he's learning what it's like to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom. He didn't have any time or very limited time with them last year, so I'm sure this is brand new to him. But to me, it feels as if Ovi and Backstrom should know each other pretty well. I mean, they've played together for how long? They played together in the lockout year, even over in Russia. So it makes no sense to me why these guys aren't gelling anymore. And like you said, passing to Ovechkin's feet. I'm not a hockey player. I've never been on ice before, so I really can't tell these guys what to do. But I got to imagine, you know, passing's one of the most basic things for a hockey player to do. I know you got the stress of other guys about to hit you and trying to move that puck as quickly as possible, but I feel as if, you know, you watch other teams, even like a team like the LA Kings, it seems like they got passing down and they know exactly how to make sure that that puck goes right to the guy's stick instead of his feet.
Yeah, it's, you know, you watch other teams and you're like, why can't you guys play like that? It's incredibly frustrating as a fan, so I got to imagine it's even more frustrating for the guys on the team. And they have the talent to some extent to be there. Yes, you have two rookie guys in Kuznetsov and Burakovsky in high-pressure situations, depending on which one of them is playing on the second line at any given moment. And then you also have guys that aren't stepping up as well as they should. I mean, I feel like Jason Chimera, for as much speed as he has, when was the last time you saw him score a goal on a wrist shot?
Yeah.
I mean, he beats guys down the boards with the puck, and then he shoots it and hits the goalie right in the chest. Or right into his glove. Like, how many times has that just ridiculously happened? It's getting incredibly frustrating. And I think if someone's going to get moved out, you may see a guy like Chimera get moved out. I mean, he got demoted to some extent down to the fourth line. So, you know, some of the guys aren't stepping up in ways offensively they need to be. Joel Ward certainly is, though. When was the last time he scored a goal? I think he scored a goal a couple of games ago, right?
Yeah.
Brouwer seems like he's doing a little better lately. Brooks Like is back for now. But he had a beautiful goal against Vancouver. That was pretty. Too bad they couldn't play on the PK to save their freaking lives in that game. But, you know, Vancouver game was just so frustrating. They easily win that game if their PK was at least halfway decent. It was just so terrible in that game. It was ridiculous. But, I mean, you have some guys stepping up and some guys that just aren't. And, you know, it's going to be interesting going into the offseason to see what this team decides to do with two players that can't stay healthy in Brooks Like and Mike Green.
That's always been a concern with Brooks Like and Mike Green. And even though those guys are super talented, I feel as if when they are on the ice, this team is a better team for it. But can you justify paying somebody a certain amount of money if there's always a chance they're going to be hurt? Now, Brooks Like, for this last injury, you kind of have to blame him for this one, because he basically said himself he came back too early. He knew that they had to go up against the Blackhawks and they had to win, and he was going to play this game no matter what, and he re-aggravated an injury that wasn't completely healed yet. So you kind of have to look at a guy like that and be like, what are you doing? I mean, yes, it's great you got the passion to win, but if you're not 100%, you're not helping this team.
Yeah, not even a little bit. They have enough players now that you can have guys fill in if you're not 100%. If you need a night off or two nights off or something like that, take it easy, rest up, you know, make sure that you're back at 100%. This isn't the playoffs. You know, you got to get into a position to make the playoffs, and you're not going to be there if you're injured most of the season. Now, Green's an interesting situation in the fact that he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after the season. So the decision making regarding him may have to come before the end of the season. Do they make a trade to move him out? You lose some of that offensive firepower from your team if you move out Mike Green, but in the end it may help because you sort of solidify your defense a little better in the fact that you know who's going to be out there on any given night. Because you don't have that uncertainty surrounding Mike Green and whether he's going to fall apart at any given moment. He's going to trip over, you know, the blue line somehow and end up, you know, exploding his hip or something ridiculous like that. So without knowing what's going to happen with him, you know, do you move him? You can move him at the end of the season, but if you wait till the end of the season to move him, you're not going to get anything for him. At the deadline, you might get a pretty good deal depending on if he's healthy or not. Brooks Like, on the other hand, it's a tough call. He's still got two more years on his deal at a $4.5 million cap. It's a high cap. Third highest forward on the team in terms of his cap hit. That's ridiculous for a guy that's not playing a lot of games. When he's in, he looks okay, but he's got to be in to actually look halfway decent. And, you know, aside from that goal last night, I don't think that Like has done enough this season to earn $4.5 million. So it's tough to see what they're going to do with him at the deadline or even in the offseason.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when that comes along. And these guys, you know, hopefully they can stay healthy. Hopefully they can be a part of this team. But you got to look at other stuff, too. Like, if Mike Green does leave, we've seen Mike Green. He's hurt. We have Jack Hillen playing right now. I got to imagine Barry Trotz. He's already said he's got a few guys that he's already fans of defensively down at the Hershey Bears. We saw Steven Oleksii come up for one game this past week. He didn't have any playing time. He just sat in the press box, but he was here as like an insurance policy. Supposedly, it's also because his contract says he has to have 30 NHL days, to be considered a, you know, up and down contract, but that's all business there. But Barry Trotz pretty much said, look, Steven Oleksii, the only reason that you're not a Capital right now is because we have Erskine and Hillen here who have contracts where they can't go up and down. So he said you did everything right in training camp. So there's a chance that you do see a guy like, I don't know if it's Hillen's last year or Erskine's last
Erskine.
Year.
Erskine.
Yeah, if those guys leave,
trade Erskine.
You're going to see Oleksii. Like, I don't think they're going to trade either of those guys because they don't have any value. If they just let their contracts expire, they bring Oleksii up next year, that's something else. But if Mike Green gets hurt, Barry Trotz definitely has the guys that he wants to bring up. Offensively, I don't think he feels the same way with a lot of guys in Hershey because you really haven't seen a lot of movement. I mean, Liam O'Brien came out of nowhere this offseason, played in training camp, and then here he goes. He's you know, a part of the Capitals, and it's been 2 months, and he's still here. He's never been sent down. So defensively, yeah, I think there's some people that could come up and fill up those shoes of Mike Green or Jack Hillen or John Erskine if somebody were to leave town. But if Brooks Like leaves town, I don't see, you know, a good enough person to kind of fill his void.
Well, I mean, what, on the roster already?
Well, like either on the roster already or down in Hershey, I don't really.
All right, so let's say you move out Like, right? So your first line, you got Ovechkin, Backstrom, Wilson. Second line, you have Johansson and pick your poison of Kuznetsov or Burakovsky. Well, where's Like playing right now? They had him on the wing on the third line, right?
I believe so.
In the Vancouver game with Joel Ward and Eric Fair. Now, Fair is going to play the center spot. Okay, fine, because otherwise Fair could certainly fill in for Like. If he's going to play the center spot, if you still have Chimera, he can play on the third line, or you can – I mean, you can move Fair out wide and play Kuznetsov in the – or Burakovsky in the middle on the third line. I think they have options if you move out Like. Now, if you move out Like, you may get something in return depending on if a team's willing to take on that kind of salary and give up something of value. So maybe what you bring back could be someone that's as talented in terms of just on-ice production as Like. I'm not advocating getting rid of him, but if he's not playing more than, I would say, 60% of the games this season, if not more than that, you know, then I think you move him out because you can't rely on him. At some point, it's got to become a business and it's got to become about the team. And if you can't rely on a guy and he's making that kind of money, and he's not helping you anymore. You know, if you can move him out, you move him out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down the line. But just looking at this team right now, you know, we were talking about the last couple games and how there's no offense, about how there's no penalty kill, that the defense is looking sluggish. I personally think, you know, certain people look sluggish. And then you have a game that happened this past Saturday up against the Maple Leafs. And it's crazy because this was just a wild game where we saw Justin Peters start, we saw Braden Holtby play the second, and then Justin Peters come back in the third. Is there a shining star or a shining light, anything positive with this team right now, or is it everybody's playing mediocre and they're not nobody's working together?
The defense is better than last season.
It's true at times.
At times the defense has been better than last season. I think the forwards. I think Johansson is better than he's done last season. He's definitely going to the net more. It also somebody says like these guys are just not on the same page. Like the entire team, at times. You know, one guy's thinking, okay, I'm going to dump the puck and you're the one going for it. But when he moves the puck up, someone else is moving, you know, the player that thought it happened in the game against Vancouver. I can't remember the two players it was. It was Wilson and somebody else. He pushed the puck up along the boards, but the other guy had turned around to go back. And it's just like, you know, they're not all quite on the same page yet. I think some guys have regressed in terms of like Jason Chimera. I think Eric Fair is playing better, so I'm happy with him. Bad things, Volpatti's still on the roster. No, that was mean. Although he's a long-term injury reserve, but I don't understand that. But, you know, I do think the defense is better. I think the goaltending in general is better than it was last season. But they're not putting the points on the board as much as they should be. And they're not keeping the puck in the offensive zone as much as they should. So right now, it's hard to look at this team and look at this season and go, yeah, this is a team that can make a run to the Stanley Cup, because they're just not playing well enough.
Yeah, I don't feel as if any unit is playing well enough. I feel
the thing is, they have the talent to do it. So if it's a matter of effort, and it's not to say they're not, you know, doing it enough, but the effort that is just, it's not enough. It's there, but it's not enough. So if the effort level can go up, if it's some of it's understanding the system a little better, and if that's, you know, they just need time and that gets better, then this team certainly has a chance. I do think they're a trade or two. They need maybe another player, two at most, I think, to sort of push them to be in a better position. You know, I think Wilson's going to come around and start being that player they want on the first line. I think the second line needs to settle down a little bit. Third line clearly has some issues going on. They're not really sure if Jason Chimera is the guy. It looks like Brooks Like is going to be the guy on the wing. You know, do you move out Chimera and put someone else on the fourth line, or will Like move out? I don't know. I think the roster's not set just yet. I think we're going to see some moves. But I think all in all, the team's relatively solid. They just got to start playing better.
Yeah, that's the thing that's what I'm so frustrated about, is that when I watch this team, I know that they're better than what I'm seeing on screen. Like, well, Braden Holtby, I mean, the dude's good. We all know that. We've seen him. But the last few games, I haven't seen Braden Holtby play his best. I don't know. Maybe he ate too much turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't know. You and I were talking during the Maple Leafs game and how I was going off on Brooks Orpik because, you know, I don't hate this guy because he was a former Penguin. I don't hate this guy because the Capitals front office paid so much for him. You know what? You got the money? Spend it on somebody who's going to make this team better. And in the long run, I think he'll make this team better. But he's also showing his age, because you got a young guy who can just smoke him and go around him and get a goal. I mean, that's where the Capitals are really going to be hurting. I like Orpik. I like what he brings to this team. But I don't think that he's, you know, the saving grace of the defense at this point. I don't think that Burakovsky, I think he's great, but he's still young and he's got to learn something. He's not going to be that second line center. He's not going to be the answer right now. He's still got to learn. But it's really weird at this point in the season, because with a new coach coming in, I figured by this point, I mean, we're almost at Christmas. By this point, I thought this team would at least progress, where they're at least getting, you know, two wins on a road trip or something, because I feel as if every time I tune in now, I'm expecting a loss. I'm surprised if they win.
It's amazing how the difference between a couple of years. You know, we had the Boudreaux era where you're, you know, the beginning of it anyways, and sort of the middle where you're expecting a win every night. Now you're just kind of like, please win.
Yeah.
So it's tough right now. You're sort of going into the games with not a lot of confidence in their ability to get a win. And so, I mean, I don't think either one of us saw the second Islanders game, right?
Correct.
So, but that game seemed like one where they played very well. And so it's a matter of being able to play consistently. And I think once Burakovsky and Kuznetsov become a little more comfortable with the NHL and the system under Trotz, I think they'll start being a lot better. And I have faith that they can get better, but it's just tough to see it right now.
See, I thought they looked great in the game against the Islanders, the first one that happened on Wednesday the 26th. Yeah, they lost in overtime, but I was impressed with their play that game.
They did look better.
They looked great. I was like, man, this team, they can last throughout a whole game. And I was asking, what is one of the good things about this team? Up against the Canucks, I feel as if, at least with Barry Trotz, these guys aren't feeling defeated after, you know, the other team gets a lead. So long for, like, with Bruce Boudreaux. Somebody else would get the first goal and they would just be like, oh, I guess we lost for the night, we're done. They at least seem as if they're trying to play a full game, but something still isn't clicking. I don't know if they're just hitting great goalies, because, you know, you do have a guy like Halak, who we had on this team for a little bit, and we know he's a good goalie. You go up against a guy like Ryan Miller, you know he's a good goalie, he's an Olympian. And, you know, I don't know if they're just not, like, studying specific goalies to do certain things. Like, oh, he gives down, you know, rebounds more, or this guy's better over the shoulder. Or I don't know if they're not studying enough on these guys, but something isn't right. Something isn't clicking.
Well, then it's going to be up to the coaching staff to figure it out. That's what you're paid for.
That's why we podcast for free. We just ask questions.
Yeah. I mean, I have some answers. You can hire me. No, I don't. It's tough. I mean, Trotz is clearly not happy, and he came out and he made some comments about that today. And he has every right to be upset, because they've been playing pretty poorly. So it'll be interesting. I mean, what was it? Adam Vinkin tweeted that Trotz had said that he said, "Am I happy where we are? No, not at all. I think we're better than we've shown, but we're not as good as we think we are." So that's pretty telling about the way he thinks that this team is sort of, you know, acting right now, or the way they're playing right now. And we've seen that before. Maybe you need a couple of you need a trade to sort of wake them up to the fact that they need to be better and that they need to play better, and hopefully the things start to click soon. I mean, it's really all we can do right now as fans is just kind of hope that things will start to click soon.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think it's possible. In the past, it's tough when you've had these sort of rookie coaches, because you're not really sure if they know how to turn things around. But with a veteran coaching staff, they should be able to turn this thing around.
And we've seen what it's like with a bad coach. I mean, Adam Oates, I mean, yeah, former Capital, great to see you again, but dude was not a head coach. We kind of learned that the hard way, that he's not head coach material. But Barry Trotz, he's got the skills. He's never had a guy like Ovechkin. That was a big thing on the offseason, where he comes from Nashville and he's never had a superpower, you know, a superhero-esque guy in the NHL to coach like Ovechkin before. So, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of adjustment for him, too, to kind of work with a guy like that. I don't know. But here we are. It's December, and we have a Capitals team that just kind of, you know, reminds me of what we've seen before. You know, it's not a team that I'm – it's a team I'll always love, but it's a team where I'm kind of like watching TV going, I don't know if they're going to win this one. I think down the road it might be different, but for right now it's kind of like, please just win. Just do something, guys.
Yeah, I mean, nobody goes 82-0, but it'd be nice for them to at least give the fans confidence they have an opportunity to go out and win. And, you know, it's like when you do, they have these great beginning to games. I remember when I went to the game against, I'm totally blanking on it, Carolina. And they dominated early on, and they let Carolina back in the game. That's sort of been the way that this team has played. And we've seen players come in from the outside, like Brooks Orpik or Matt Niskanen, have come in and said that these guys get down on themselves when they give up a goal. You can't do that anymore. You can't just be like, oh, woe is us. Somebody scored against us. You got to fight back. And it doesn't seem the team necessarily has that at times. And so, you know, maybe they needed a little bit of a shakeup. I would have thought it was the coaching staff. Getting a new coaching staff would sort of help out that mentality. But that hasn't worked just yet.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens down the road. We are less than a month away now to the Winter Classic. That should be a fun game to finally get to see. And
I hope so.
I don't know if you heard this during the broadcast the other night, but John Walton brought up the fact that there are only three more home games until the Winter Classic.
Yeah, they're like not home at all in December.
Yeah, not at all.
Looking at the schedule right now, they've got next week on Thursday and Saturday at home, and then the 22nd at home. And then they have 7 games on the road. So that's ridiculous. I mean, the week of the 14th to the 20th, they're completely on the road.
Yeah.
They go to Florida, Columbus, and New Jersey. So they're not like, well, Florida's kind of far, but the rest of it's not that far away. But it's a little crazy. December's not very nice.
Not very nice to the Capitals, but Winter Classic's coming up, so we'll see what they.
And Epics has started filming, right?
Yeah, they've started filming. They
great.
Was it's it two weeks? 2 weeks. It starts airing on the 16th, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. So that'll be fun to watch.
I hope so. I mean, if you go back and you watch 24/7, the first some parts were not so great because the Caps were on that huge losing streak during it. You know, so it seems like every time they have the net, you know, these. Prescott, not Prescott, you know, I guess Prescott, but like, you know, the HBO comes in, or now Epics, they're like, oh God, too much attention, and they start to play poorly. Although it's been all season, so I don't know if that counts.
Hey, good drama for Epics, though, because this way they're the losing, they're the underdogs, and they come back and beat the Blackhawks.
That would be nice.
So we'll see if that happens, but hey.
I'll take it.
Anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Mike Green's out again.
Yeah.
There's a shocker. He's scheduled to miss his fifth straight game on Thursday against Carolina, so that's awesome. But he is scheduled to go on the road trip. They go to they'll be out of town for the next 3 games, so we'll see if he actually has a playing in any of those. Hillen's what come in for him and looked okay. Schmidt has had his struggles lately a little bit, but he's done okay. I was a little surprised to see him out there at the end of the game against Vancouver when they needed a goal. I would have thought, you know, a couple other guys would have been out there on defense. You know, Niskanen, Carlson, and I think Hillen is technically more, although Hillen had a shot last night that I'm pretty sure I could have taken better than he did. Like, it was the weakest shot I've ever seen, and I'm pretty sure he thinks of himself as an offensive defenseman, so that was pretty bad.
He was the guy a couple years ago, wasn't he? He was like the guy, he had a kid.
For the Islanders.
No, remember he had a kid like a season or two ago, and like he was the guy to get goals on defense.
For the Caps?
Yeah, wasn't that him?
Maybe for like a week or so. I mean, it was an okay signing at the time, and now he's just kind of like an extra body.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not making that much money, so it's not the end of the world that he's on the team, but I don't know. He's just kind of like he's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I figured it would have made more sense that maybe because of that shot, Trotz didn't put him out at the end of the game when they needed a goal. But if you're going to go, I mean, you're going to have, you know, six guys on the ice because you pulled the goalie. I figure you're going to have four forwards and two defensemen. Or five forwards and one defenseman. So what was Schmidt doing out there? I don't know. Maybe he was just rewarding because he thought he played well. Or give him an opportunity after that stupid delay game that ended up giving Vancouver another freaking power play, which they ended up getting their game winner on.
Yeah, that penalty kill just looks terrible.
Lately, it's been abysmal lately.
If there's anything they work on the next week or so, it is figure out what is going on with the penalty kill and why it's not working.
We better work on more than just that with the way this team is playing lately. Other cap stuff, NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly was at the game against Vancouver, and he actually met with the season ticket holders, which is kind of cool. Huh. He was asked about if DC could host a future All-Star game, and he said, and I quote, "I would say in the foreseeable future, yes." Now, the earliest DC could host the All-Star game is in 2017, as the next two All-Star games are already scheduled for Columbus this season and Nashville in 2016. But that would be kind of cool.
Columbus and Nashville? Really?
Well, dude, I don't pick them. Oh, also, I just remember this. There's no alumni game this year at the Winter Classic.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Daly came out and said there's no alumni game. Oh, that's lame.
That really
not
sucks.
That we'd be able to see it on TV or anything, but that would be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a whole part of, like, you get tickets not for, like, the whole weekend. Like, I thought that was, like, hey, you get an alumni game, and then you get a regular game, and that's why you're spending thousands of dollars on these tickets.
First we lose HBO 24/7, now we lose the alumni game. It's some crap, man. Yeah, that's all I got on the Caps from the past 2 weeks. It's just lack of offensive possession, Green's broken again, they're not playing very well overall, and hey, if Bill Daly's the deputy commissioner, does that mean if Bettman retires or something happens to him that Daly takes over?
I believe so.
That's scary. I don't know if that's quite the case. I think the owner's pick who the next guy would be, but that kind of scares me.
Yeah. Because
as we know from the lockout, Daly's a bit of a douche.
Well, they all are. I think we know that now, that they all just suck.
That's true. I still take him over Dan Snyder, but that's besides the point.
Most people.
To go off the Caps real quick and a little bit of Washington sports.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
I forget. I know you'll like this because you're a Ravens fan. I forget where it was, but it might have been Sports Illustrated or Forbes or somebody did a column or something about the worst owners in professional sports.
Right.
Number one owner, worst owner in professional sports, Daniel Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, bringing all the Daniels down, that guy.
He's the ultimate D-bag.
Oh yeah, didn't it something come out where like he is forcing the fans to like pay for, oh, what is it? There was something
the
that
air like, they're breathing at FedEx.
Yeah, there was something that like no other place in the United States makes their fans pay for something, but Dan Snyder forces fans to pay for something.
He's done so many crappy things to the fans over the years; it's ridiculous. Aside from at one point he was charging to go watch the players at training camp, he at one point attempted to charge fans for walking to the stadium from the metro.
I think that might have been it. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
So that might be it. From the worst – one of the worst – I mean, I've been to games at FedEx Field, and you know, aside from the fact that the team hasn't been very good since like forever, aside from 2012, and that's not for a lack of trying on the players' part. It's just they don't have very good players overall at the moment. He's just such a douche. I mean, the games are just so like, it's all about him making money, so it's all like corporate. It's not fun.
Yeah, that's the worst. I can't stand corporate stuff like that.
And he's not going anywhere anytime soon because he was a fan of the team growing up, so he's not going to sell the team.
No, not at all. No. I went to FedEx Field in 2012. I think that was one of the first shows we ever had, and I talk about that on one of our past podcasts. It was not a good experience, you know?
It's not.
No, the stadium is not well built. It looks like it was built in like the...
he didn't build it. Jack Kent Cook built it.
Yeah.
When they were moving out of RFK and he wanted some deal with the city, and the DC council is such a nightmare to deal with. I mean, as a DC United fan, trying to get a stadium in that city for the past like 15 years has been ridiculous. So Jack Kent Cook got mad at this DC city council and was like, screw you guys. And then he went and built... it wasn't called FedEx Field at the time. I forget what, I think it was called Jack Kent Cook Stadium actually at the time. He built that out in not Landover. Is it? No, it's still in Landover.
It's Landover. Yeah.
He built that out in Landover. And now, you know, it's just, so I can't blame Snyder for the look of the stadium, but I can blame him for the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's,
I mean, it won't, honestly, dude, I wouldn't be surprised in the next 5 years if well, it'll still be there, but if it's like on its last legs, because we all know that Snyder wants to build a new stadium.
Yeah, he wants one bad, but the, I mean,
he wants a dome on the RFK site.
Well, that would be interesting. I don't see that happening.
He's
but...
gonna go out. He's gonna try and build something like Jerry World.
Alrighty.
All right. We're done with football.
Yeah, we're done with that. I do football with Josh on another show, so I'll talk about that.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
But you talk about the Ravens.
Hey, you should do your own Redskins show.
It would be a half an hour of people complaining.
It would just be a half hour of people going, "Oh God, this is terrible. Oh God, this is so bad." Oh,
they have some good players, and they have a good. I feel like they have a coach that knows what he wants.
All right, last question about the Redskins though. RG3, like, do you see him sticking around, or is he gone?
Well, wait, are you asking, do I see him sticking? All right, let me rephrase. Do I see him sticking around, or do I want him to stick around, or both?
Both.
I mean, I don't know with this team, you never know what they're going to do. I think Snyder knows the commercial that comes with, you know, the money he can make off having Griffin on the team. And so I think I would like to see him stick around. I think he does have natural talent that you can't just find. I don't watch college football, but I hear that the class of quarterbacks coming out this year is not so great. And I don't really want to go with a season of – I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be back after the season, and I don't think a season of Colt McCoy is going to help. But it doesn't matter who the quarterback is going to be because they don't have any freaking offensive linemen outside of Trent Williams. So, you know, it doesn't matter who he is. But I would like to see him come back. I think he will come back in the end. I think that Gruden, you know, there was reports that he wasn't a big fan of his style of play, but I do think that you see he has natural talent. I think he's just gun shy right now. And that's what caused him. He's holding on to the ball too long, getting lit up in the backfield because the offensive line sucks. But I mean, so some of that was the offensive line, him getting hit, and some of it was him holding on to the ball too long. He's got to learn how to throw it away. So I think he'll be back. I want him back. Because I do think he is their franchise quarterback. He just needs some time to adjust. He's been in the league 3 years, but he hasn't played that much if you go and look at it.
Yeah, I mean, that first year he had, he's never been the same after that Haloti Ngata hit when they went up against the Ravens at FedEx Field in 2012. Yeah. He never took the time to heal from that hit. Last year was
well, no, wait, now he did. He got rushed back, and part of that was him, but he's a kid. He's going to want to come out and play. And,
yeah.
But also the team's got to be able to sit him down. But then, I mean, the injury this season was his ankle. So it wasn't even related. It was just he did a weird, like, cut and just the ankle gave out. So, but then I don't think he was rushed back necessarily, but it's just like, he's kind of like what happened they did with Patrick Ramsey and like quarterbacks like David Carr in the past, where they just get hit so many times that it just messes with your head. And like, as soon as they hike it, you're wondering, all right, where am I going to get hit this time?
Right. Yeah.
So if they build an offensive line, they'll be all right. Look at the Ravens. They built an offensive line and Flacco can stay upright.
Sometimes that's
well, that back when they were good.
Yeah, that's something else to consider. And that, hey, if you want to hear about us talking about the Ravens, go to the call. It's also available on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. And all right, so if that's it for Caps World here, let's gonna take a quick break. We'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we start talking about the Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Here we go. We are back. It's time to go down on the farm. We're talking Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. Let's see what we got this week.
No, don't do it.
It's Christmas, so how about Reindeer Dan? Tell us what's going on in Hershey and South Carolina.
Freaking reindeer.
Right, it's, you know, they live on a farm sometimes. They got to learn how to fly and stuff.
All right, moving on. In the past 2 weeks, Hershey went 3-2 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Worcester, and St. John's. So the Bears currently sit at second in the East Division with an 11-8-2 record.
How many times are they going to go up against Worcester?
A lot, apparently.
Jeez.
I don't know. Dude, wait till I get to the ECHL because their scheduling is freaking ridiculous. You're going to like this. The Bears have an 11-8-2 record, good for 24 points, two behind first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, South Carolina went 3-3 with three straight wins over Gwinnett. They actually played them four times in a row, starting from the 25th of November to the 30th. Whomever did the ECHL scheduling must have gotten really hammered before creating the one for this season. The scheduling for the ECHL is just freaking ridiculous. It makes zero sense. I'm telling you, dude, whoever that dude got lit up, he got really high or really drunk. before you created the schedule, because it makes no sense half. I mean, I looked at the schedule and was like, hey, they beat them again. And wait, how did they play them so many times in a row? It's ridiculous. The Stingrays are currently sixth in the East with a record of 7-9-4, good for 18 points, seven behind first place Florida. So it's not that bad. You're about three and a half games behind Florida. You have an opportunity to get back into this one. You just got to go on a nice little winning streak. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Next up, we are going to go around the NHL. Here we go. It's been 2 weeks. Plenty of stuff is going on around the NHL. Not going to waste any more time. Coach Dan, get us up to date.
I will start with some sad news as Montreal Canadiens great John Beliveau passed away on December 2nd at the age of 83. He played 18 seasons with the Canadiens from 1953 until 1971. In 1,125 games, he scored 507 goals with 712 assists. He won the Hart Trophy twice, Art Ross once, and was the first person to ever win the Conn Smythe. Future Hall of Fame goalie Martin Brodeur signed a one-year deal with the St. Louis Blues. That's going to be weird to see.
Very.
He played 21 years with New Jersey. To see him wearing a Blues jersey, it's just going to be weird. Like, just one of those things, you know? Speaking of former Devils, New Jersey signed former Devils center Scott Gomez to a one-year deal, so he's back playing at the Prudential Center. I think he played at the Prudential Center before they opened it. Sounds about right. Anyways, Dallas signed forward Jason Spezza to a 4-year extension worth a reported annual, worth a reported annual total of $7.5 million. Montreal signed right winger Brendan Gallagher to a 6-year extension worth a reported total of $22.5 million. LA signed defenseman Alex Martinez to a 6-year extension deal is reportedly worth $24 million. People are getting paid. Minnesota signed Marco Scandella to a 5-year extension, paying him a reported total of $20 million. Now, it's a good thing he got signed to that deal because he'll be giving some of it back after he was fined $2,755 and change for an illegal check to the head of St. Louis forward TJ Oshie. Here we go again with people checking other people in the head. You're going to like this one. The LA Kings were fined $100,000 for violating the terms of defenseman Slava Voynov's suspension.
What?
Now, Voynov was suspended back on November 20th after being charged with a felony count of domestic violence. Clearly, the NHL is smarter than the NFL, clearly, although LA not so much. Now, Voynov was suspended. He's not allowed to practice with the team. And he practiced with them on the 1st or the 2nd, I want to say, of December. And apparently one of the beat reporters out in LA was like, we're not sure why he's out there, but Voynov's practicing. And the NHL was like, okay, you guys are dumb. Here's a $100,000 fine.
Wow.
For being a bunch of idiots. Montreal defenseman Alexi Emelin was fined $11,021. What's a 21? I mean, it's probably a game check, but that's just weird. And change for an illegal check to the head of Buffalo forward Brian Gianna. Again, checking people in the head. Stop it. Winnipeg forward Adam Lowry was suspended for one game for boarding Buffalo forward Patrick Kaleta. Dallas forward – yeah, everybody's getting suspended. Well, it's been 2 weeks, so, yeah. You know, you guys spread it out a little bit. Dallas forward Ryan Garbutt – he's got a funny name – was suspended for two games for kneeing Edmonton forward – sorry, I had to do it – for kneeing Edmonton forward Taylor Hall. I think Hall got seriously injured on that play too. Pittsburgh defenseman Robert Bortuzzo was suspended for two games for a late hit to New Jersey's Jaromir Jagr. Actually, on the news on NHL.com, he said he got suspended for two games for interfering with Jaromir Jagr. And I was like, is it that big a deal if you hit Jagr? You get suspended? I mean, come on, guys. Montreal traded forward and douchebag Rene Bork to Anaheim for defenseman Brian Allen. And finally, Anaheim acquired defenseman Eric Brewer from Tampa Bay for a third-round pick in the 2015 NHL draft. That's the past week. Actually, about 2 weeks in the NHL.
A lot of people getting injured. A lot of people getting suspended. Wow.
People get suspended. Teams getting fined. Ellie's dumb. Things are happening.
All right. Well, the Capitals, they got a road trip coming up for the next three games. Aren't home at all. So the phone booth is going to be empty, guys, down in D.C. So let's go over these three games. Thursday, December 4th, the Capitals are in Carolina up against the Hurricanes. That game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, December 6th, the Capitals are in Jersey up against the New Jersey Devils. Let's see if they go to Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash, pick up some comics. That game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Tuesday, December 9th, the Capitals go down to sunny Florida, down to Tampa Bay, up against the Lightning. So maybe then it's not so sunny, but we'll see. That game.
Well, now that you said that, it's going to rain.
I know, right? That game is at 7:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. So each of these teams, I mean, in the Eastern Conference, very viable teams to go against. Hopefully the stuff that we talked about will be worked out. Hopefully they can get at least one or two wins this next week as we look forward to what's going on in December. But do you see any of these teams at least the Capitals having a chance to come out with a W?
I mean, you always have a chance. This team, I don't know. No, I mean, I think they have a chance against Carolina. They had played a really good game against Carolina last time when I was at the game, and it was just a matter of continuing that same effort and not letting teams back in the game. And New Jersey, I think they definitely have a shot. Tampa Bay got Victor Hedman back, so they're playing well. So it's gonna be an interesting road trip. You got three games. They're all not that far away. I could honestly see them going down to Carolina, coming back Friday, and then going up to New Jersey for Saturday's game. And then since they have 2 days off, they'll probably come back home again and then fly down to Tampa Monday for the Tuesday game and then come back home Tuesday night or Wednesday for their following game. So they definitely have a shot at going on a 3-0 road trip. But with the way this team is playing right now, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully by this time next week when we talk, we at least have one or two two wins underneath the Capitals' belt. But we shall see. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Make sure you be social with us. Follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. And follow the show on Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast. You can follow me on Twitter personally at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can occasionally also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and to their bobbleheads.
I want to see the new Slapshot bobblehead. There was a game last night. People, I need to know what he looks like. You know, I've got the Thanksgiving one. Is it a Christmas one this time? I need to see Slapshot if he's dressed as Santa or not. You guys got to get on that. So.
You got to calm down with the crazy bobbleheads. But you know who's not going to calm down with crazy bobbleheads? CapitalsOutsider.com.
That's true. You can see all the old ones. And they might even talk about the new kids club, the Backstrom in the Winter Classic jersey. But I want to see the Slapshot one.
No Winter Classic jersey. Okay, real quick sidebar. I went to Modell's in Germantown last week, and that jersey still sucks seeing it in person. And not only that, but like I saw it up close. It doesn't even look red. It looks brown.
It's maroon.
It's crap.
I also saw a version of it, which pretty sure it wasn't a real NHL licensed jersey. I think it was a Chinese knockoff. I saw it in person, though. Lots of Orpix, lots of Holpies. Actually, no, one Holpy, lots of Ovechkins. I think everybody's got Ovechkin already. But, I'm probably not going to buy one, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Christmas is right around the corner.
There's some crap. But yeah, you can back to the original point. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Yeah, go to BrandoCash.com. You get information about this show and all the other shows we do on from Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also go to Facebook and like us over there. Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll be notified whenever a new show comes out. Make sure you let your friends know about the show. We do this show for free. You guys download it, stream it, listen to it for free. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. TuneIn Radio is really cool. If you do enjoy some sports talk from around the DC Baltimore area, you can get those local stations on your phone plus our show. So it's pretty cool that you get to have best of both worlds, podcast and radio, right there on one app. So that's TuneIn. That's my new favorite that I've been using for podcast and radio, but check that out as well. So let people know about What the Puck, man. It's Christmas time. Don't buy Coach Dan or me gifts. We don't need anything, but we need you. No, what we're asking for you guys to do is just tell people about the show. Say, hey, it's the holiday season, and the best way I like to spend my holidays is listening about hockey from two of my favorite people. So let people know about What the Puck and that you love the Capitals. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web. Maybe there's other cool stuff that I don't even know about yet because I'm so old. But we will see. We will see what happens down the road. We want you guys to let people know about the show. We want to keep getting bigger and better, and we need you guys to write iTunes reviews. We need you to spread the word about What the Puck, that is available all over the place, and that it's free to listen to. So please help us out there. It's the giving season, and that's what we're asking you to give us, is just spread the word about What the Puck. So this coming week, it's a road trip for the Capitals. They're going all up and down the East Coast. We want some wins. That's what we want. We want some wins to talk about. We want some bright light in this, in these dark days of Capitals hockey where you just don't know if they're going to win. We want wins. You know what? So maybe we should chant that instead of "Let's go Caps" at the end of the show. How about that? Let's do that. Everybody, say it with me. We want wins.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.